Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line, time for Mitty. We'll get to your text, 251-343-0106. Joining us now on the line, he is the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. Always a pleasure. John Wall joins us. Chairman, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Hey, thank you for making time for us. Kind of a busy day for you. I think it's rare that we have a competitive election in any kind of significant basis in Alabama, but a partisan that is. How you feeling about HD 10 up in North Alabama today? What kind of walk us through that process on a day like today?
Yeah, so much of today is about turnout. And look, this is going to be a strange one. This is a genuine purple district. It's about even Republican Democrat voters in the state house district. And it is a rainy day in North Alabama. So I expect extremely low turnout. We could be looking at, 4 to 8% total turnout. Anything when you're talking about that low, anything can happen. This is a really, really interesting situation. Democrats have come in on the national level. CNN did a piece on this. A lot of the Hill, Politico, a lot of the mainstream liberal side of the media come in and really tried to make this an abortion referendum, which has really stirred up the Democrat base. If this election was in the, on the ballot with the general election, I would expect the Republican to win. With what the Democrats have done and low turnout, there's no telling. We're just going to have to wait and see. It's going to be a nail biter. I certainly hope Republicans get out to vote. The state party has sent 5 mailers. We've done robocalls. We've done texts. We want to make sure people know it's election day, and hopefully they get out and vote today.
Well, here's the problem. I mean, Democrats really need one. They really want this one. I mean, my observation is with Doug Jones on the ground there for Maryland Lands and just the like you said, the national media, no disrespect to Teddy Powell, the Republican running in that, but it looks like there's so much more of an effort from Democrats on this one.
No, it really does. I did an interview with, I think it was The Hill a few days ago on it. And she was like, is this concerning? I was like, well, first of all, let's get this straight. Even if the Democrats win in a low turnout special election in a purple district, that does not concern me, because we're talking about a state with a supermajority, a Republican majority. We're talking about, currently it's 80, almost 80-25 Republican to Democrat swing in the state house. So let's be straight here. If they get lucky in a special election, we will come back and win this seat back the next general election, because this is a purely a turnout thing. And so I'm not that, I am concerned about it. We want to win, but you better bet. Look, this will be a perfect storm and a lucky thing if the Democrats win, and we will be back and we will retake the seat if they do.
Well, does any of this worry you about, the possibility that later on down the road, I mean, the Democrats will have a playbook, they'll have a little momentum, and out-of-state fundraising. I mean, they've nationalized. The Democrats, at least in that particular race, have successfully nationalized that contest.
Yeah, absolutely. But see, that won't be possible in a regular election where you have the entire state up. You can't target a single district like this. And number two, you're also going to have in a regular general election, you're going to have high turnout. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to excite the Democrat base and lift the turnout for Democrats. You can do that in a general, but the trouble is Republicans are also going to be turning out, in a general. There's not going to be that same, we'll actually have an even playing field. And on an even playing field, Republicans are going to win the seat.
And that's so much of that is, we go back to 2017, right, and low turnout and kind of oddball, wild card sort of scenario with, anything can happen with low turnout. It's just the key to winning is get out the vote. But it's not really one on the merits of the candidate. It's just kind of won by ground game and really who's got the best campaign apparatus.
Well, and look, this is how I look at a low turnout scenario. And Mira Lands, the Democrat candidate, has done a good job of being, I mean, I'm just going to be honest about it. She's a radical. She's a radical Democrat. She's preaching a radical message, and that excites the Democrat base. Teddy Powell is, you know, city councilman from Madison. He's used to running the nonpartisan race. It's a purple district. He's taken the more, you know, more cautious approach of trying to appeal to all voters. We'll see if that works. My opinion and kind of where I have stood and you know, the political gap, kind of stood on a political position of being a little bit bolder. I think our voters want bold conservatism that's going to fight, that's going to stand up and say, no, we're going to push back against the woke agenda. We're going to push back against political correctness and really take the fight to the Democrats and be engaged in this process and standing up for, especially social issues right now, whether that's, sexually explicit books in libraries, or maybe it's what, you know, the indoctrination we're seeing in our schools, and kind of push back on those social issues that are affecting families and that our parents and our grandparents care so much about right now.
Well, tell me this, Chairman, this contest aside, I mean, this has always been kind of a problem child for Republicans. And there are very few like swing competitive districts. HD 10, even some of Mike Ball's last races there as a Republican, were always kind of more competitive than probably most of the House districts in Alabama. What needs to be done here? I mean, we saw a little bit of it with Tom Butler's reelection bid in 22. Mm-hmm. It is shifting. There is a change on the ground in North Alabama. What do Republicans need to do to shore up and keep that a red part of the state?
Yeah, I was going to say, you're actually the other district I would put on that list is Tom Butler's Senate seat. Those are really, this House seat and that Senate seat are probably the two true swing districts in the state of Alabama in our legislature. But in that, you know, up in Madison County, you've got county commission districts. You've got the county as a whole. Madison County is headed towards being a purple county. We know it. We've seen the election, you know, we've seen it in election results. We've had to spend a lot of money there as a state party over the last few years to make sure that we hold that area. And I think moving forward, the party needs to do two things. One, don't ignore it. Fight hard. Organize the grassroots, spend the money. That's always a key. Money does work in politics. If you can get your message out, you can be more successful. That being said, that is only effective if you get the message right. And I think that's the key for Republicans, not just in Alabama, but across the country. Can we get our messaging right? And I think, to me, we know the recipe. We've seen it. We've seen where it works. Last election cycle was a bad year for Republicans across the country. You know where it wasn't a bad year? It was not a bad year here in Alabama. We picked up 50 seats. It was not a bad year in Florida, where Ron DeSantis took a swing state and won it by 20 points. And just a couple of years ago, it was not a bad year in Virginia, where Glenn Youngkin won overwhelmingly in an area he should not have won in. And all those three areas have something in common. The messaging coming out of either the candidates or the state, or in Alabama's case, the state party, was a message of bold conservatism. That we were going to push back on the woke agenda. We were going to push back on the Democrats. And we talked about values and issues and how they affected people's lives instead of personalities. Everybody knows we have a bad economy. We don't necessarily need to talk about the economy because people feel it. When they go to this grocery store, when they buy gas, they know the border's out of control. The issues that we need to latch onto and drive home is how crazy the Democrat Party has gotten. For me, it's this simple. It was just a few years ago. I forget the exact year, but just a little while ago, the Democrat Party took God out of their platform. Since that time, they can't tell what a woman is. They indoctrinate our kids with trash, and they stand up for stupidity. And if we can communicate that to the public, we win.
Well, here's another concern, and we'll move on from HD 10 after this question. My worry is the big picture that national Democrats and even state Democrats will use this to try to shape public opinion and say, hey, look, even the people in ruby red, right wing Alabama rebuke your pro-life policies. You need to change course. And I'm not saying that means that the membership in the legislature will abide by that, but I do think it is going to make them think twice about it.
No, well, and it's going to, like you said, they're going to use it as a national narrative and not mention that this is a swing district. They're going to say, you know, in Alabama State House District, Republicans lost because of this issue. And that's very disingenuous because this is not a ruby red Alabama district. We're not talking about Winston County here. We're not talking about Marion County. We're talking about, you know, a very much a swing district in a metro area. So that being said, you are correct. I expect them to use that. I think it's extremely disingenuous for the reason I just gave, and also for the reason that probably the thing that has played more up there has been the situation with the former incumbent and his situation where he lived outside the district and was running outside the district and won and then wouldn't step down. That has probably had more of a negative impact and made this race harder to win than anything that happened with abortion or IVF.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like the residual impact of David Cole's conviction, certainly. I mean, like, how many people are like, well, we saw what happened the last time Republicans had this. Mm-hmm. And then another thing, like the former member, a Republican endorsing the Democrat, and I mean, these things aren't typical in these smaller elections.
That's right. And look, this is a perfect storm. Like you said, you got a former incumbent endorsing the Democrat. You got the person elected after that in a hard fought race who is now disgraced. And then you have national Democrats coming in and pushing the Democrat narrative and exciting their, you know, the Democrat voting base in an extremely low turnout election. It's the trifecta. You know, we will see. I have not given up. We're pushing hard where we're hoping to win tonight. But if we don't, it will not be because of abortion. It will be because of those other three issues.
Well, and I guess we'll Monday morning quarterback it later, but you also got to kind of wonder, like, okay, when you do an autopsy, let's say even if you win and you go back and look, what could have we done better? And what should, I mean, you and I agree on this. Like, I feel like that the Republicans aren't putting as much emphasis on this as the Democrats. This is a crown jewel for them. Why didn't we do that? Why did we wait around so long when Democrats, they flew in and then this was like really reported to them? This may be something we are confronted with in the future. What do you do here?
Well, look, it was not from, I'll tell you this right now. It was not from lack of attempts on the state party level. And there has always been this disconnect between in conservative sides of politics, between different groups in the national conservative media. It's just very, very hard to have this consensus and get something targeted like this going. And the Democrats are very good on that. And this is a problem that conservatives have. We don't always stick together like we should. And this highlights that problem. And I think it's something that as a whole, systemically, as a conservative culture, and this is on a national level, we need to address, realize what's happening, realize that we're behind on this, and really try to address it for the future, not just in Alabama, but across the entire country. We need to stick together and fight against the socialist agenda that is very much in lockstep and marching forward.
Joined by Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall here on the show. Chairman, we'll talk this. Spring break in the Alabama legislature right now. And I got your update. You got to feel pretty good right now about the progress the legislature has finally made on some of these outstanding issues from years past. We finally have, I think a big one is the ballot harvesting bill finally signed into law. I mean, like, how important is that, especially with this AL2 race?
I think that's extremely important. And it goes back to the fundamental concept that our elections should be secure. You know, I know this is an issue where some Republicans want to run from it. You know, the mainstream media says it's controversial. There was no voter fraud. But look, if there's no voter fraud, if this stuff doesn't happen, then why do you mind if we pass laws that strengthen our the integrity of our election process? If you're not, if Democrats aren't worried about the fact that they may be cheating, they shouldn't care if we pass law strengthening voter integrity. And I think that's one thing that has really been highlighted in this process. Democrats are scared of increased integrity. They're scared of transparency, and they're scared of being held accountable for potential election fraud. So I think this bill is tremendous. It adds some real penalties. It makes sure that when we, you know, if we see problems, we find problems, we have a way to solve those problems. So this is a tremendous bill. Also, you know, we always talk about school choice. I love school choice. It's been the kind of the hallmark of this session so far. That being said, following right behind it, some party priorities that have been going on for years or more recently, things like curriculum transparency, where we make sure that parents have access to all curriculum that their children may be taught. It's hard for me to believe we need that one, but we had parents who schools refused to show them curriculum. They cannot do that anymore. Parents have access to that curriculum. And then CRT, you know, passing a strong CRT bill, well, CRT and DEI together, which is a very strong bill. We don't want to see indoctrination of our kids. And we don't want to see taxpayer money being used to fund DEI programs at the college level. And we don't want to see our public school kids being taught DEI concepts, woke concepts, or CRT. Like leave the divisive concepts out of our schools. Let parents address those. So some massive, massive movement legislatively this session for Republican principals.
Chairman, back to the ballot harvesting discussion, and whenever I talk to like elected officials, particularly election types, probate judges, or you know, even the Secretary of State over the years, it's this. We know absentee ballot fraud probably goes on in some of these counties, and you know, but the local officials don't really enforce the law. The local prosecutor isn't going to prosecute ballot harvesting. You know, the local law enforcement isn't going to bring charges. The local judge there isn't going to hear the case. Like, and so it becomes, okay, well, we'll bring in the attorney general, but bringing in the attorney general for like a some kind of ballot harvesting operation, just the historically the AG's kind of looked at it and says, well, we don't know that this is necessarily worth our time. I mean, like, how much of this is, I think it's a bigger problem than people let on. The detractors of that legislation that passed, well, there's only like two instances in the last 50 years of any kind of ballot fraud. But the truth is, it's just, it's there. It's just they're not pursuing it as law enforcement.
Well, they're not pursuing it, or it's not, the process is not transparent, so we're not finding it. And I think this is where we need to take another step past this bill. This bill is a good start, but there's several other things that need to be addressed. And the party knows this firsthand because of what's going on in Conecuh County right now. You know, we are in the middle of a lawsuit down there on a sheriff's race that has taken longer than I wanted it to, but we are moving forward on that. We're finding some very, very scary things in our absentee ballot process. And that, I think, once we're able to take that to court, actually get it in front of the judge, get the information public, I think you're going to see another bill that addresses this issue a little bit deeper. Things like there's no reason that one person needs to be a witness on 30 or 40 absentee ballots.
Right.
Unless you work at the as a circuit court clerk or in that circuit court clerk's office. Why? In Clark County, that's what we found. We found one of five people witnessing hundreds of absentee ballots.
Chairman,
obviously ballot harvesting.
Chairman, I gotta cut it. We went a little long there, but real quick, folks want to find out more about the Alabama Republican Party. How can they do so?
Oh, check us out on social media, Alabama Republican Party, and then, of course, our website, algop.org.
All right, Chairman, thanks for your time.
Always good to be on the show.
All right, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. It's good.